The concept of the National Health Service Corps is like that of the 90s TV show Northern Exposure. In the pilot episode, we meet New Yorker Joel Fleischman, fresh out of medical school and on his way to Alaska. The state paid for his tuition.
In return, I agreed to be their indentured slave for the next 4 years.
Similarly, the National Health Service Corps pays for a clinician's education, and he or she pays them back in service. The goal is to get more primary care providers to federal prisons, Indian reservations, public health centers, as well as rural areas.
The National Health Service Corps provides a safety net for people who wouldn't otherwise have access to medical care.
John Kohler is with Family Health Centers of Southwest Florida. Its many public health clinics employ Corps members. Kohler says recruiting physicians can be difficult, and they often rely on Corps clinicians to help carry the patient load.
Knock, knock. Hi, how are you?
Corps pediatrician Dr. Elisa Hueda is stationed at a Family Health Centers clinic in Cape Coral. She's examining Millie Cruzado's 6-year-old granddaughter, Destiny Melendez.
Let me check your ears. That's a good ear.
This is Hueda's fourth and final year in the Corps.
I originally signed up because it was a good deal, you know, to pay for 4 years of medical school.
But she knew the job ahead wouldn't be easy. Those working in underserved populations face challenges that many other providers do not. The people they serve are often uninsured or on Medicaid, with little access to health care. Dr. Rebecca Bernard knows those challenges well. She's now a family medicine practitioner in Bonita Springs. The former Corps member worked in an Immokalee public health clinic for nearly 7 years.
Patients often would wait until the last possible minute to get health care, and so their symptoms or their diseases would often be very advanced by the time they got to you, so it would be more difficult to treat.
Many patients have financial constraints and are unable to afford specialty care, treatments, or tests. Providers like Bernard must think outside the box and figure out ways to treat them using few resources.
Lots of barriers and lots of challenges to overcome, you know, 20 to 30 times per day. So, kind of stressful.
Transportation is also an issue. When patients have no way of getting to the clinic, Bernard says physicians go to them.
We would find extreme poverty. There would be chickens running through the house, literally. There would be holes in the floorboards. It would almost want to bring tears to your eyes to see how people have to live.
Dr. Elisa Hueda says the job does take its toll.
I do ask myself, how do we get up in the morning and just keep going? I guess when you're doing it, and you see the results, I think your mind tells you it's worth it and you just keep going.
Although there are more than 7,600 clinicians currently serving, 9,000 jobs remain open. Healthcare reform is giving $1.5 billion to help expand the program.
Okay, you can do that.
Okay.
All right.
Back at the clinic, Dr. Elisa Hueda has finished with Destiny. Now it's her 9-year-old brother Delvin's turn.
Take a couple deep breaths.
Both siblings are insured under Medicaid and have been going to the clinic for more than 4 years. Their grandmother, Millie Cruzado, appreciates the care Hueda has given to her family.
Oh, she's a great impact. I mean, I hope she stays here.
According to the National Health Service Corps, 3 out of 4 healthcare providers say they plan to stay where they are after fulfilling their commitment. Hueda says she realizes the crucial role she plays in the community.
I go to sleep sometimes and I tell my husband in bed, I say, I feel like if I leave or something happened to me, what would happen to these kids?
Hueda says she plans to continue working with underserved populations after finishing her service at the end of the year. For HealthyState.org, I'm Farah Dasani in Fort Myers.